Greetings, I'm James Gillen, your host, and we've got some crazy things going on. I hope you've been paying attention to the Soho site and the solar activity. We've got a massive X-class flare bearing down on us as we speak, and I think it was released Friday morning, and it's very geo-effective, aimed directly at the Earth. And if you're feeling some crazy energy in the past few days, some of us feel it right in the beginning when the X-rays and gamma rays go off. You know, we feel it about 8 minutes after the event, if you're sensitive. And it gets pretty crazy out there. So anyway, these X-class flares are pretty intense, and the Earth is just getting hammered by M-class and X-class flares. They're coming in on a regular basis, and it's affecting the bioelectric fields around the human body. A lot of people are in process. Some people are having emotional outbursts. Some people are getting very lethargic. All kinds of things are going on. So anyway, heads up on that, and be very, very careful out there. You know, pay attention to what you're doing. If you feel like you need to lay down and relax, lay down and relax. If you feel like you need to go scream at the woods or the forest or whatever, go scream at the forest. You know, whatever you feel like you need to do, let this energy pass through you, because it's going to be very intense. These energy waves coming through the Earth are also activating the astral levels, and the veils between worlds are becoming very thin. So there's a lot of unseen negative influences people aren't aware of that are having their day right now, and they're being activated as well because their time is up. So it's not too far away, you know, for this to be coming in. But it's going to get really interesting in the next few days, I guarantee you. Now, there's another situation coming up too. I wanted to give people a quick update on the court case. We actually went through the last hearing, and the judge recused himself again. So that's three judges and I think two prosecuting attorneys, and you know, one quit. And we don't know what's going on with these guys, but it's getting beyond ridiculous, and it's just a blatant misuse of the judicial process and, you know, harassment and bigotry now. So it's gone beyond ridiculous, and we're still having to deal with that. It should have been thrown out on the first case because they don't have a case. But county is still trying to create problems, and they would love to see SETI shut its gates, but that's not going to happen because there is a divine decree, you might say, for this place to stay open and continue to serve humanity and the Earth. You know, it's you're kind of messing with the highest forces on the planet. But anyway, we will continue to hang in there. I wanted to bring on a lot of guests just to let people know what's happening here at SETI lately. John Kelly's been putting on some amazing footage here. The past week, we have just filmed ship after ship, power-ups, turns, multiple ships, four ships in one frame, three ships, doubles coming in and powering up. Just crazy activity in the sky right now. And so the skies are extremely active over SETI, and you know, it's basically it's just going to continue. I know it's not going to stop. So this is all going to escalate all the way up to till the big event, you know, 2013 all the way through. So, you know, it's buckle up, you know, because these solar flares are going to create erratic weather changes, crazy thunderstorms, high winds, increase in volcanic activity, earthquake activity, and, you know, a lot of economic, social, and physical earth changes. So, you know, keep your eyes up and make your own personal connection with spirit and pay attention because, you know, we are on a ride and we all chose this ride. So I want to go to our field here and see if we can bring in some of the guests that have been here at East SETI and talk about some of their experiences here at the ranch. See if we can connect into our field office in the field
of
dreams.
John Kelly.
Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you.
I was just mentioning your name, considering the filming you've been doing here and the compilations that you've been putting together, and I'd love for you to talk about that, just some of the activity that's been going on.
Well, there's been an abundance of activity, and it's been amazing for all of us who were there to witness and film together, all of our spotters, all of our camera operators, all the different people who make a Skywatch, a great Skywatch happen, and with, of course, a little friendly help from the skies as well. We had a lot of incidents of contact, visual contact, sightings, seeming even communications. You know, it's many different things happening out there just over a period of a few hours and even into the wee hours of the morning. There were several different types of anomalous sightings that caught my attention. You know, we like to study the satellite tables, the tracking tables that are made public as part of our due diligence, just in order to make sure that we're paying attention to the objects that are expected to appear, and there can be numerous satellites that can be in the skies over Trout Lake on a clear night. But then we're looking for the objects that behave in remarkable ways, but they don't appear on the satellite tracking tables. You know, they can't be explained as conventional known satellites. And when their behaviors start to look like they're communicating with the people on the ground, you know, they're responding to a ground-based light signal, for example, you know, we really feel that we're getting beyond the idea that this is something as part of our human society, and it's really something from another society. And we need to lift this veil of ignorance, you know, in the face of these experiences, these evident experiences that are captured with instruments and backed by the testimony of multiple witnesses year after year at the East SETI Ranch. We need to get active on lifting the veil of ignorance in our society that says these things aren't happening, these people are hallucinating or don't know what they're looking at. It's not that difficult. You know, James Gillen, you've always said that you don't need to be a rocket scientist to make sense out of some of these things. Just need a little bit of experience and maybe someone to guide you to get you through the first steps. But it's evident to everybody on the field that something is going on. And that's very exciting. It's been happening here at East SETI for years. I've been visiting the ranch for a while now, and I know that you've had thousands of people here all witnessing different kinds of phenomena. It's not going away. The issue is still hitting home with the people who see it, and I think that we need to start, as a society, incorporating the idea that this kind of contact is going on and that there's a future that involves contact. Our society more people are going to be having these kinds of experiences. So the different types of UFOs or, you know, extraterrestrial spaceships that we're witnessing exhibit different behaviors. Most significantly, the light patterns that come off of them don't resemble anything that the FAA might have regulated or perhaps a military vehicle like a jet fighter might have exhibited. Rather, they behave in very strange ways. Huge, low-flying lights close to the horizon, for example, traveling away from the setting sun, exhibiting, you know, constant lighting, massive lights, evocative of what people call the Yakima lights in the famous studies that were published and investigated through people commissioned by Dr. J. Allen Hynek in the 1970s. The mountain lights that we see here that were still perplexing many of us, and remarkable displays, you know, from the summit of Mount Adams in the middle of the night where people 13 miles away can see an incredible beam of light coming off the summit of the mountain. I mean, it's like a scene out of The Lord of the Rings, except it's happening here in real life. All of these kinds of phenomena are happening here. Pairs of objects, triplets of objects, photographic frames that show three or four objects in the frame all at once. Well, there's some satellites expected over the East SETI Ranch, it's true. But that many objects? How could you have that many objects in the sky? So many that clusters of three or four at a time could be captured in one photographic frame. I continue to be amazed by what I see and record here, James, and the legacy you've left with all of your research and time in the field, and opening the door to the possibilities that these sightings and contacts represent. You know, it's really paved the way for someone like me to come in and spend the nights taping, reviewing the images, debating their merits with my colleagues who are here at the ranch, and just having an awesome time. So if I haven't said this before, James, thank you again to you, your family, and your staff for all the great experiences that you've made possible here. And I look forward to continuing to visit the ranch and study here with you.
Well, great. Thanks for coming on the show. And it's just been awesome having you out here in the field catching all this activity. And I know every once in a while I'll miss something and you'll get it, and you might miss something and I'll get it. And when we combine all of our footage together, we capture, and especially with that new technology you have, that AllSky, we're hoping to get the Orion AllSky set up here, you know, and have to invest in some more equipment so we can actually film. And you know, I'll bet you we miss 98% of the activity flying over the ranch. And so what we do have is just phenomenal, and it's probably, you know, 2% of what's happening here.
It's hard even with the best spotters to catch 100%, but with teamwork, mm-hmm. and as you said, with some strategic equipment, it's like having eyes in the back of your head, and you will capture more objects more frequently with an AllSky type camera.
Oh yeah, and definitely have a longer filming time, you know, and actually you could do it 24/7 with that and catch a lot of daylight footage as well.
Absolutely. I want to see more of the kinds of color images that we've seen posted to the eSETI.org website, that from local people, from the people riding their mountain bikes and getting those amazing captures. Just a beautiful setting here, and it's so mysterious. You know, we know about the lore, about the ideas about extraterrestrials having bases in the area, even inside of Mount Adams. Mm-hmm. And when we see objects that are either, you know, doing their most dramatic displays as they approach Mount Adams or seem to emerge from the mountain, like that amazing shot you got last year from that object that flew down the mountain and across the Field of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
It really opens the avenues. In the mind, we go, there's something more than just mountain, you know, hikers on the mountain or tourists or people driving cars on mountain highways out here. There's more sources of light and more mystery. I continue to be overwhelmed by the things that happen here on a frequent basis in terms of the light phenomena, the contact again. It's just amazing.
Well, what's nice is that, you know, the mountain up to the tree level, basically, there are no roads there. And I know where the roads end up there. I mean, I can see the formations here that you look up to from where the roads end on the right side. And there are no roads up there, and it's wilderness area, and you can't have any kind of a vehicle up there, or you're in big trouble. So, you know, it's pretty much a no-brainer. And you see these lights traversing all over the mountain, going straight over cliffs, huge lava cliffs and glaciers and things like that. I don't know, if you go up in that area and you see what these lava cliffs look like and the lava fields that these things are moving across, there is no vehicle that could do that. It would have to be some kind of a anti-gravity or a major hovercraft. Nothing else could actually get across that terrain and not just be...
It's very rugged. You know, you've shown me the footage that was taken with one of the eSETI family with his small craft, Brent, I believe, had flown mm-hmm. a couple of the eSETI team members up by Mount Adams. And I see those shots and those jagged cuts in the rocks and how treacherous many of the approaches are to the mountain. There are safe ways for hikers to get up there, but it looks extremely primitive otherwise, and I can't begin to imagine any kind of heavy vehicle traversing those crevices and moving through those rocks. It's just not a lot of foothold, a lot of danger. And so the thought of someone operating a piece of heavy equipment up in those conditions in the middle of the night is really kind of beyond believable to me.
yeah. They better have an anti-gravity cat or backhoe, because that's the only way you could do it.
Well, I mean, what insurance company would even cover that kind of an operation? Me and my team, we want to haul, you know, 20 tons of equipment up the side of a mountain in the middle of the night, and we want you to insure it. Is that all right? You can sign off on that.
Wouldn't, definitely wouldn't happen.
I don't think
well.
You know. I just don't think. I think that the skeptical, in other words, the skeptical arguments begin to sound more and more irrational in the face of the evidence, and particularly when you yourself are in the experience, those arguments lose all of their glamour. And
well,
this sort of brings us to a topic that's maybe close to you, James, as someone who's been on a touring circuit, who's spoken to many large audiences specializing in the UFO topic. And, you know, there's a difference between there's almost a cosmic distance or gap between the podium and the field of dreams, in a sense. You know, when it's happening for real, when we're all shoulder to shoulder and having the experience together, I don't know if someone who's just a UFO skeptic standing at a microphone in front of an audience can really summon the same kind of clarity or perception and shed light on that issue in the same way as someone who's just out there in the field of dreams, shoulder to shoulder with the other sky watchers, having a collective contact. I really find that kind of learning is more informative.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree 100%. Hey, well, thanks a lot for coming on the show, and thanks for all the good work you're doing, and I'll see you out in the field a little later.
Great to be with you, James. Thanks again so much.
All right, take care. Looks like we got another guest on. I'm not sure who our mystery guest is.
Hey, James, it's Greg here.
Hey, Greg, welcome.
Thanks for having me tonight, and it's great to be back to East Eddie here.
You know, before we go further, I wanted to talk about, you know, you've got J-SETI, which is a Japanese version of E-SETI over in Japan. And,
right.
And you bring a lot of Japanese people over here who are having just amazing experiences. I'd love for you to cover some of that or some of the things that have happened that you've seen out in the field along with the Japanese folks that have been here.
My pleasure. Well, this time we're here again on a short tour from Japan, and basically when we pulled up, it's like we're having close encounters with E-SETI itself. You know, every time we come, something new happens, and we just keep cutting deeper and deeper. It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. You know, the first time I was here, it was just for a period of about 3 hours, but that turned into, you know, being a kernel of a seed, which has now blossomed into, like you said, this J-SETI project in Japan with contact events going on there. And when we came up to Trout Lake 2 days ago, we had a formation in the clouds that almost looked like Mount Fuji. It was like an inversion in the clouds, almost like a wink from the sky there. And, you know, just feeling the expanse of the landscape as usual this time, the real distinct, you know, character of the vortex energy, you know, was just unmistakable. You know, I think we're just a couple of weeks after the big seminar, and when we first came on Thursday night, you know, it was an excellent night of activity with just crystal clear sky and a lot of the power-ups and a whole ton of the satellite type, you know, slow-moving craft. That John just was mentioning, and I think we all had a lot of collective sightings, and again, feeling that back and forth, which is so distinct. That's what makes a difference in my mind between when you're just looking at a dead object like a satellite or something man-made, and then the conscious connection with these ET craft and the other you know, phenomena coming around that are involved with the other, you know, realms, the Ascended Masters and whatnot, and the nature spirits on site.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and then our guest here, we've had, the last time we were out was at the end of September last year, and we've had a lot of those people, especially the ones who went ahead and tried, you know, the TPR session, transpersonal release healing. They've had continued interesting developments with their main teacher and guides, And you know, it's interesting to see the people who want to get deeper in this topic, you know, they take it upon themselves. And I think the self-mastery element is key for people to understand. You know, the guy we're here with now, he has a real great spirit of kind of trying to teach those around him. But as we talked about this morning, you know, there is a limit to how far you can actually change someone's mind. And I know personally, having these experiences, you know, you really do want the people close to you to at least somewhat understand them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've been talking about all the different psychological aspects and all the things that go on even when we're not in the field. It's such a deep, there's so many levels that this ET contact subject touches on, whether it's, you know, social levels or consciousness levels or psychological levels, and then, of course, all the spiritual elements.
Well, he has a great photo to take back with him after his transpersonal release session.
Exactly,
Yeah, we took a photograph of him, and he has this big beam of light coming out of his third eye, or sitting right on his third eye. So, I mean, that's going to be hard to explain when he takes that back to his friends and says, hey, look at this.
Yeah, I think he's taking a big step this time, and I'm impressed. You know, we feel like we're in a totally... the last time we were here was during a seminar, so that had its own flavor. But this time we're in the totally, experiencing all the kind of classic elements of ESETI and other things it has to offer. So besides even just the night sky watches, I just want to comment and thank you again, James, for all the excellent remote sessions. I mean, this is something that really, you know, you almost, as you and John have. Every night, you know, with the cameras rolling, you know, this is helping to convince people and the skeptics. But, you know, we're experiencing a large wave of people who are already past that, their doubts. You know, and what are we going to do next together? We're already in July. It's 2012. You know, the skeptics are just going to get left behind. And we're ready for the next step here. We're going deeper. And basically, you know, that is a closer contact. And working with these guys is, I think. That's something that's been going on in tandem, I think, with the work outside. And it really is amazing, the stuff that happens when they do step in and people open the door to their higher self and the spirit guides and the ET guides. And we've experienced a lot of people in trouble sort of on the astral level, getting beat up on the astral levels in Japan lately. Remote sessions, even me getting involved on a just translating level, I feel the energy just through the phone like crazy, and people are really helping it sort of change the channel and get out of the whirlpool of sort of confusion and doubt and then the emotional attachments that these quite a lower and unenlightened beings tend to cling on to and manipulate. But I think since we've come into June, it's been really a big push to clear up those astral levels And I've been talking a lot about in Japan about the difference between the higher dimensional frequency and then everything below it. And unfortunately, everyone, you know, whether it's ghosts or discarnate spirits that have been mistaken for ET or space type phenomenon. I think what I usually say is. The world of the unseen is now finally, you know, we're able to actually define all these things more and more as the ascension process and as people's awareness expands, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. I always tell people with an expanded awareness comes a greater responsibility to heal and clear what is within it. Mm-hmm. And so it is so important. You know, there's an old saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. So we have to maintain our own self-authority. And, you know, live according to universal law and realize that, you know, there's a lot of energies you can call on to manipulate others and overpower others and things like that. But eventually they end up owning you and manipulating and overpowering you. So it's very important to realize that love is the ultimate power and love serves. You know, it serves people. It doesn't control or manipulate or it's not an aggressive againstness energy.
Right. I think experiencing that experience is totally open at the ranch. And again, I said it just before I actually even spent a lot of time here or even met you in person, I literally just did a touch and go 3 hours and made that direct connection. And it's only gotten deeper since. And it just surprises me how people who have kind of linked up to something in between, you know, something that wasn't that pure, and it's surprising the difference in their behavior or the intentions behind what they're doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to have this kind of stable reference here always at Mount Adams to share energy with other people. And you know, those in Japan that we're meeting who can't quite make it over, due to, you know, work commitments or whatever not. We've been, the TPR sessions over the phone have been a great of great use for people, as well as getting translations of the clearings. And you know, as I become more sensitive, I can feel the difference. And I've walked into places that have had these disincarnate spirits, and they'll spin right into the solar plexus. And, you know, and before, you know, I think we all have this happen, but we're just all, we don't know why the body starts to feel bad, or we don't know why we're out of energy. But once you start to be able to really connect and hold that higher frequency, anything else feels bad. So you want to always, you know, be able to stay on the better foot, so to speak. So the tools that you've put out in the books are of extreme importance and extreme help, and they're definitely in Japan. The spiritual scene, or the people who are dabbling in this stuff or starting to dip their feet in the water, have in many cases, unfortunately, gotten into the game of, like, you know, charlatan type of information, or all the stuff that sort of, you know, has been sort of wrong with the New Age scene up until now. To me, it's almost like a magical war. You know, the dark elements have sort of done that. They've sort of perverted the true spiritual practices on purpose. And now, you know, whether you talk about crystals or power stones, most regular people, they just think of that as suspicious and highly doubtful. But then the same with UFOs. But I think we're finally coming up to an extremely important turning point where people are going to not be able to deny that anymore. And the wrongs, so to speak, will be righted in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I definitely agree. Yeah, it's I can't thank you enough for actually taking, you know, the information here at eSETI and creating JSETI over there and bringing all those wonderful people over there in Japan to connect in and actually do the remote clearing sessions, you know, long distance and things. And, you know, it's been wonderful for all concerned, basically. I know you've watched the changes in them and how the information was kind of shocking to them when their books were read, you know. And,
right.
And they go, yeah, that's exactly when that happened, you know. And so,
that's exactly right. The readings that come out as a result of the clearings have been unbelievably accurate. And even with people who I know quite well, it's amazing to see how concisely the elements that come out after the clearing regarding the past life and all the connections to this life are always spot on. So people are and it's also all this contact, I think, and also the people that we're meeting, it's also very serendipitous, and luckily we've been meeting the people who really are going to are sort of resonating most with this information. We've met a lot of them right off the bat, so I feel like there's been a real guidance to the JSETI project as well. So I'm sure those seeds were all planted here in this field of dreams. So it's been excellent to just watch it unfold, and then we're also starting to start to do a little more filming. And last year when I was here talking to John a lot about the night vision scope and how he has his setup going, and we just had a few great events down in Okinawa where there's been amazing contact. I'm feeling there is a large undersea ET base near the main island. Obviously, there's a big U.S. military presence in Okinawa, but the sheer distance from the mainland is another proof that, same as Mount Adams, that the farther you are from the city, the easier it is for these ETs to kind of show up and communicate with people. The cities are a sort of unfortunately, you know, it's a mess of the consciousness fields are not quite, you know, in order with so many people and their different emotional states and whatnot. But as you get away from that and connect more into nature, whether it's the mountains around here or the near the ocean and in the middle of the ocean out in the middle of Okinawa there in the Pacific, we've had some amazing close contact and literally just craft sitting across the bay there just in plain sight for over an hour, you know, And it, like I said, again, to finalize, it's almost like they're saying, well, what's next? Are you guys ready for the next step? You know, it's it's been great. We're looking forward to more developments as we go on this year.
Great. Hey, well, thanks for coming on the show, and keep up the good work there at JSETI. And, you know, hopefully you can take back a lot of footage and a lot of incredible photographs with you as well.
Thanks a lot, James. Okay, I'll pass it on here.
All right.
Hold on.
Hey, bro.
Sounds like Ryan.
Yes, sir. How you doing, man?
Oh, welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know you've been sitting out in the field with this till the wee hours in the morning filming these ships and having some pretty phenomenal experiences. And you've got some pretty incredible footage yourself of orbs on your iPhone interacting with you and just all kinds of crazy photographs. But, you know, I'd love to hear your take on, you know, some of your experiences here at ESETI and what you've seen out in the field.
Wow. Yeah, James, where to start, man? Where to start, right? This week. How great has this week been, by the way? The conditions have been perfect.
Yeah.
Last night, I guess we saw multiple power-ups, probably double-digit objects in the sky, and it was a slow night. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been an incredible week. But to speak of the orbs, the second night I was in the house from the yurt, I turn on my phone and go through the protocols, some of the stuff you taught me in the Reunion Resource book and the stuff I learned at the self-mastery that I did with you at 09. And I turn it on, and I'm used to getting orbs, right? I mean, I film them all over the country. But this one in particular was special because it come up and just interacted with my, you know, with me and everything, but it was so bright. And I am not used to seeing them quite that bright. And that was really cool. That was like the second night I was in the house, I suppose. And we've got that, and then we've got this week. I mean, where do we start, James? I mean, really, where do we start? Do we talk about the low-flying object that me and John saw Wednesday night? Low, slow, looked like it came out the side of the mountain, right?
Yeah.
Low and slow and bright. And I think John filmed it for 4 or 5 minutes. And,
yeah.
Or do we talk about the race? Remember the race?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the two big bright ones that came in.
Back and forth, yeah, right? Like they were racing one another, right?
I thought it was interesting. Those two that came in, they were like racing, and all of a sudden one overtook the other. They were flying together. One overtook the other and took the front. And then another object appeared in front of it, and it took off after that and turned and followed it, was right on its tail. And then another object went zipping across the bow of it. So I thought that was fascinating watching all those four objects, you know, doing all kinds of maneuvers up there. And what would you say to the armchair investigator that's going, oh, those are just satellites or meteors or the, you know, the Seth Shustaks of the world that are out there saying there are no ships, there is no evidence, there's no we're still trying to pick up their radio waves, even though they definitely would not even be using a radio because they couldn't even contact their ships. You know, they're flying beyond the speed of the radio, so the radio waves.
What would I say to them? Man.
Gotta keep it clean now, no cussing.
I think the obvious first thing we say to them is get your tail here and have your own experience. You know, you can look at it on YouTube or whatever and armchair it and debunk it all day long. But you come here and you look up in these skies and you see what we've seen this week. There's something wrong with you if you don't think there's something amazing going on here. And I'll tell you what I do with them, James. When I get one, and I've had several with my videos that I have, you know what I do? I take them and I wait till night. I let them look over my shoulder. I turn my phone on. I call them in using the techniques you taught me in self-mastery. And I change them, right? I turn them over, you know, because you can't deny it when you have your own experience. You know, once that happens, it's over, you know. All the denying is just done. That's what I do. I'll get somebody in a room, turn on my phone, go through the protocol you taught me, and, you know, 9 times out of 10, they come up, interact with the phone and me and the other person, and you know, they're turned over. So that's what I do with them.
You know, we actually filmed some of the transpersonal release sessions with a special technology they call PIP technology that shows the energy coming into the room. And in each case, this giant whirlwind or tornado of energy would come into the room, this beautiful golden energy, and then everybody would pixel out. Everybody's in the – all of a sudden they would just turn into like a light body. It was amazing, and that's how the healings occur. They're spontaneous healings, but – every time, you know, a different group would come in, like Mary's energy would come in with this beautiful pink little whirlwind would come in, and everybody's bodies would just turn pink, you know, like pink light bodies. It was amazing with this technology. So I don't know, after seeing that, how anybody could argue, you know, that there isn't an extreme energy change and shift that happens, and you can see the effects of it with the technology.
Oh yeah, it's. I mean, it's happening here, and it's in. And that's a good point. It's not just the ships in the sky. I remember when I was here in 2009, it was really, you know, it was really cloudy, right? So we didn't get a lot of days like we have now. Like I've gotten this last trip. I've been here for a while, and but you know what I mean. So there's other things going on here. So last time I focused on kind of what you just brought up, right? That those kind of things, the stuff we learned in the self mastery classes. You know, the stuff that you teach and stuff like that in the reading source book and everything. So we weren't focused as much on the sky last time. So, you know, I'm getting this time. I'm getting the ship stuff this time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or last time, some of the other phenomena that you're talking about, like with Mary and the golden, that golden energy of Kosekiel, right? It's a call sign.
Yeah.
Close my eyes in this place. Literally meditate and see that rolling golden light. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just undeniable once you come here and have your own experience.
Yeah, and it's even photographed. I mean, we've had monks come up here, and people from all walks of life have come up here and gotten their own photographs. And, you know, Kahn's, who's a Taoist monk, basically, his photographs are phenomenal of Kosekiel's energy, Mary's energy, the felines, the, you know, six-dimensional feline beings that appeared. And, I mean, it just goes on and on and on, and the people phasing out here, and I think that's interesting when people actually phase out.
Yeah, I've witnessed
out,
that firsthand, right too. There's a picture you show in your slides and stuff that your presentation you did here this year, and one of those pictures you were showing someone phasing out, and I can attest to that because I was sitting right across from that lady when she was doing that, and she was just hot, like her body was really hot. You could tell, like, really warm, and her face got really red, and I mean she was literally phasing out. So I had firsthand experience of that one, so that was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I think it's incredible when you see them, and all of a sudden you see the chair, and you see a faint silhouette of them, and you see right through them. You know,
yeah,
see the chair right through their bodies.
Absolutely amazing.
It's quite an interesting program. The yeah, I mean, there are so many different things happening out there. I can't wait to look at more of your photos and maybe get some of them up on the site because they're just amazing.
Yeah, we've done some things with John. I've given John a few of them, and before we take off, we're going to get a few more and get them all up so everybody can see.
Great. Sounds good. Hey, well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, James. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.
We have anybody else there?
No, brother. I'm the last one up here right now.
Hey, well, you can stay on the air if you're the last one up there.
Fantastic.
I was hoping we'd get some of the kids that were here, the younger people that were out there, but, you know, come on the air and talk about what, because I saw them just having their minds blown. It was just total transforming for them to you know,
yeah,
actually see this.
Yeah, we got a bunch of new people up, you know, over the weekend and stuff, so it's really excited to see what happens tonight for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a pretty interesting evening. I hope the skies clear up because right now I'm seeing some skies that it's kind of crazy. It's very gray up there, hazy. But,
yeah, we got a little work clearing that sky up tonight. I think it's
if we put our intention on it as a group, we can open a nice big hole and see whatever we want to see here.
Open the sky up.
Yeah, just extend the vortex up and clear the sky and watch ships come in. But
absolutely.
No, I'm looking out here to the west right now, and it's just a beautiful sunset. And I am seeing some clear skies to the west, and that's where this storm came in from. So I think behind this storm, probably another hour or so, because it's not dark until then. because you know, nothing happens until dark 30 that you can see, basically, other than little specks flying around there.
I looked at the weather, and it looks like I think we're going to be okay. Might not look so great now, but I think, you know, when it comes about 10:30, I think it's going to be a lot better.
Yeah, we'll be in good shape. Hey, well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, James. Appreciate you.
All righty. I guess that's our last guest from out in the field. I wanted to cover a few more things, kind of update people on what's happening here at the ranch. And for those who just tuned in, welcome to the show. And I hope you're doing okay with these X-class flares that are bearing down on us as we speak, that are geo-effective. They're coming in right on target. So they're directly impacting the Earth right now. Those who are sensitive, as I said before, will feel the gamma rays and the X-rays like within, you know, minutes after these things go off. You can feel those if you're sensitive. But later on, when they hit the Earth, after about 2 or 3 days, is when the stream really hits hard. And then when that happens, boy, you see people just going down right and left. And people get all achy and they get headaches and they start spinning and, you know, kind of get dizzy. And some people get really irritable and you know, there's a lot of effects coming on. So, but when you know these things are coming in and, you know, you're aware of the situation, you can transcend it. You know, as I said before, Stanford research, when they exposed monkeys to fluctuations in the magnetic fields, they exhibited behavior from comatose to self-mutilation. But we don't have to behave like monkeys. Now, hopefully we're a little bit beyond that and we can kind of control our emotions and find, you know, an adequate release for those energies, you know, when they come up. And don't suppress them, because that's even worse. You know, let them come up and out. You know, let them move on out and you're good. But these energies are going to be intense, and it's not over, folks. This is this is just the beginning. You know, we are in solar cycle 24. The sun is just revving up like crazy. We're coming into alignment with galactic plane. That's energizing everything, and we're moving into a highly charged place in the universe. So a place where this civilization has not seen, you know, so it's going to get really interesting here. In dealing with this, I'm just wondering how our technology is going to fare through this. Because I know people that work on the dams and people who work on the grids, and I've talked to them about it, and they're aware of these situations, and they have power downs and things like that. When this energy comes in, they really put the grid power down and keep it on the lowest, I guess, the lowest streams or settings. So, you know, hopefully they're paying attention to these flares, and they're going to do all they can. And I know they've been installing some huge discharge units to just discharge this energy back into the Earth, you know, if we really get whacked hard. But, you know, again, it's that old saying, you know, man plans and God laughs, you know. So I don't think eventually we're going to be able to hold up the grid. And I know there's some other technologies out there that are not affected by these coronal mass ejections and things like that. It's a different kind of animal, a different type of energy, and it's the fuelless energy technology. So we need to start getting that out and getting behind it and start supporting, you know, these new technologies and get them going, because the old technologies are not going to function. You know, it's like, oh God, it's like trying to drive a 58 Volkswagen on the Autobahn. You know, it's you're just going to get run over, and it's not going to function too well. And you know, unless you put a whole new Porsche engine in it or something. But the you know, the thing about it is that these old systems are archaic. They're polluting. They're not sustainable in any way whatsoever. And so we're going to have to start implementing these new energy systems for our transportation and energy needs. And once that comes in, you know, we're not going to have those massive bills, you know, to pay. I want you to just think about this. How much of your paycheck goes to, you know, just gas, just petrol to get your car around? you know, how much does your paycheck go to the grid, you know, for your electric bills or your propane bills or gas bills or, you know, all these bills, all these extras. If you added all that up and then all of a sudden you didn't have to pay it, just think what a bonus that would get. All of a sudden your income would jump up probably 50% with some people. And, you know, there's a 50% rise in your income. So you could just simplify it and start, you know, doing some research into these devices. It would be a no-brainer, you know, to get this going. So the bad news is that there's still a lot of suppressive energies out there to hold this down, but those boys are collapsing. And so the old world order, or the ones that want to call themselves the new world order, are you know, I call them the powers that were. They're collapsing as we speak, and they aren't going to be able to sustain themselves with these new energies. So I saw a good chart one day. Somebody showed me what fifth dimensional energies do to third dimensional energies. You know, it's like they just scatter them. You know, they just, the old denser energies just start scattering, and they have to rise in frequency and they have to match the Earth's frequency. So the Earth herself is rising to the next level. She's going through a major frequency shift. She's expanding, growing, going to the next level. And if we're going to stay on her, we're going to have to do the same thing. You know, there's no way around it. But these energies are going to be intense when they come in. They're still coming in. It's growing exponentially. And, you know, these are all the prophecies, the rattlesnake prophecies, the Lakota prophecies. All of these prophecies talk about these times. And they talk about an old world collapsing, the beast consuming itself, and a new world coming in, and a reunification with the star nations, which is what this is all about. So it's going to happen. No man can stop it. There are men that are trying to stop it. They will just get a major karmic backlash, and you know, they will, you know, put themselves on the downward spiral. They'll be fast tracking into a total collapse. Their empires and their physical bodies as well. You know, there's just no way of getting around this. You can't hide from this energy. There's an old saying, wherever you are, there, you know, wherever you go, there you are. You know, so the atom itself is altering. Just carbon 12 is becoming carbon 7. You know, it's like all of these things happening. All the genetics are changing on the Earth. There's all these brilliant minds coming in, and golden children and crystal children and indigo children, whatever you want to call them. The veils between worlds are coming down, and the higher dimensional beings are pressing in and you know, adding their consciousness and energy to the mix. So there's really nowhere to go but to you know, surrender the past, release the past, and start focusing on love and joy and bliss, and try to live according to universal law, because this old program is collapsing in on itself. And, you know, it seems like here at ESETI, we've been helping to usher that in, you know, because, you know, what I've seen lately, the legal system is about as corrupt as you can get. You know, it's a corporation. It's a money-making corporation. It's a for-profit corporation. And it preys on the people. It doesn't have any... It doesn't have any justification in the new energies or where things are going. So it's either going to have to completely transform or fold in on itself. And when enough people wake up to what it's all about, you know, it will fold in on itself, just like the banking institutions and everything else. The corruption's going to end. You know, it has to. And it's not sustainable. So these empires that are built on manipulation and corruption and coercion and you know, dishonesty and deception, all these empires are going to be going down. And those who are harmful to humanity, the Earth, and those who are participating in these major corporations that are you know, creating war toys and things like that, are going to have an experience, you know, because it's not going to be continuing. So why not, you know, why not now? There's that old saying, you know, if not me, who, you know, if not now, when? But why not just shift now? Why not just, you know, just make that decision, you know, I'm done. I'm done participating in this old program. I want to create a new program. I want to live in harmony with each other and the planet. And I don't want to participate in this nonsense anymore. And when you do that, when enough people do that, it has to change. So it's so important right now for people to just, you know, stand in your truth. Don't agree with the nonsense. Don't participate with the nonsense. And, you know, start living a life in harmony with each other and the planet. And you'll be surprised how fast things transition. And although you might be, you know, have a little birthing pains on letting go of the old world, believe it or not, the new world is just so much more open and loving and supporting that you'll realize, what was I doing? You know, why was I involved in that? And believe me, I can tell you that from experience, because, you know, I went through the system. I went through the schooling, the educational system, went into commercial real estate. I had my own office, people working for me. I had the American dream down. I had the fast cars, the fancy house, the, you know, everything, you know, the fancy job, you know, board of director on the Chamber of Commerce. I mean, that is another lifetime ago. And then I drowned and had this drowning. I came back ultra sensitive and I could see everything for what it was. And I went, wow, this all owns me. I don't even know myself and I don't belong here. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm so glad that that experience happened, because when I look back at what I let go of and all the things I gave away, it was the most incredible thing I'd ever done. And now I live a simple life. I try to live a simple life, although I have so many things tugging on me. But, you know, just living a simple life, you know, in a beautiful natural setting, you know, with friends and family, is, you know, working together, cooperating, you know, creating a collective dream. That is so much more important right now than any of the ivory castles, you know, or the positions of power or the wealth, or it really doesn't matter, you know. And one day I think the whole world is going to figure out that they've been enslaved through dependency. They've been, you know, sold a false dream, and that dream is about to come crashing in on everybody. And the things that people do for little green pieces of paper are just amazing. And that's all they are, is little green pieces of paper. And that's about how valuable they are as well. So that's going to all come to an end here one day. So you might as well start focusing your energy in a different direction, you know, because what's of real value is going to come forward. But anyway, we're coming up to the second hour here. I want to see if we can contact. We've got Dave Cohen for the guest for the second hour, and I'm really hoping we can connect in with Dave and bring him on the show. Hopefully he's ready, you know, to come on the show. As soon as he comes on, we'll just bring him on, and he's the author of a couple of books. You know, we can get him to come on and talk about these books, and a few other things. I know he's got a new book out, and he's got a lot of new changes. He was a previous guest on the show not too long ago, so some of you people are familiar with him. But anyway, while we're getting Dave coming on the show, you know, there is just so much going on out there. All I can say is buckle up and hang on. You know, you chose this ride, and, you know, don't participate in the nonsense. You know, get yourself out of there, you know, if you need to. Because it's just going to get crazier and crazier, and until you do, until you, you know, get your mindset on a whole different world, you know, just let this one go. You know, that's what the sun is trying to tell us, basically. You know, it's just like pounding us, saying, wake up, you know, wake up, rise up, you know, get your frequencies up, you know, shift with the earth, you know. It's like, you know, and the sun is conscious. You know, it's amazing. The sun is totally conscious. So it looks like we've got some. Let me see what we've got going on here. It looks like we have a couple. Let's bring a couple callers on until we can get him on. I think we've got David on the line. David, are you with us?
Indeed.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, James. You just dropped out.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, you're back.
Okay. Yeah, this is interesting. I think that X-class flare has taken its toll on the airwaves.
Not hearing you that well.
Uh-oh. Not much.
I'll reconnect with you right now.
Yeah, we're going to have to reconnect with you.
Stay there, Dave. Sure.
We'll hang on. Maybe we can bring... I think we had a caller on the line. We will see. We're trying to reconnect with him. We had a really bad connection there. And I'm really surprised the grid's holding up concerning the energy coming in right now.
Oh, yeah. We're dealing with solar flares. We're dealing with, what, Mercury retrograde?
Oh, yeah.
Irina is here with me. She's the co-author of our dowsing book.
Oh, great.
Hi, James.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I hope you're here. I've got a little feedback. It's actually going away right now, so it's sounding better and better. I know you've got your new book out. Could you talk a little about your new book and maybe what it's about? I know you're covering dowsing, which is one of my favorite hobbies.
Yes, and we have asked the publisher to send you a copy. So if you haven't gotten it yet, it should be with you shortly.
Great.
When the first book was written, Navigating the Collapse of Time, which we discussed last year, the publisher was actually interested in our dowsing materials, and when they came over, they saw the other stuff and decided to publish that first with all of the information around the shift. But they came back and asked Irina and I to put together all of the materials that we had created over the last few years together on dowsing and had been teaching in our classes into a single volume. So we came up with Dowsing Beyond Duality, which is a combination of our dowsing manuals as well as, additional information. And it's really set up as a home study course. If someone was to actually sit down with the book and go through it systematically, they would come out a pretty proficient dowser.
Now, for the people that have never done dowsing or don't even know what it is, maybe you could give us a brief explanation of what dowsing is.
Well, dowsing is in our case, there's classic dowsing has been used for, hundreds and thousands of years as a tool to access water, to access lines of energy in the earth, and very frequently it was used with dowsing rods. They would use dowsing rods to do so that would move when they were over a ley line or a water vein. And the other type of dowsing, which is what our book is all about, is the use of a pendulum to be a tool, a bridge, if you will, between the conscious and what the unconscious, or what we call the superconscious mind, where all answers lie to anything we want to access. And then we use the pendulum to literally shift energies, to create phase changes, phase shifts, and new realities.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty interesting. I know here at the ranch, I just recently doused a well, and hit it right on the button, and we hit the mother lode. I mean, we hit an underground river here. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, we've got all the water we need. We haven't hooked up the pump to it or anything else yet. I mean, we have to run a generator to pump it, but we're in that process right now.
That's perfect. That's actually the first exposure I had to dowsing about 30 years ago when somebody came on my property and found water.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had a fellow here in Boulder a few months ago giving a talk at a group of retired scientists, and his job was, he's a full-time dowser, and he just got back from the state of Texas, and the state had actually employed him to find new sources of underground water to combat their drought situation down there. Of course, something they would never admit to the voters. But as you probably know, James, even the petroleum companies you know, when they're looking for new sources of oil, they all have their secret dowsers in the closet.
Oh yeah, definitely. We've had it here. I know that the city here quite a while back helped them find a water line. They asked me if I could find it because they heard about the other dowsing I was doing. And when I bought the property, the people put in the septic tank so long ago that they couldn't remember where it was or anything. And they were arguing over where it was. And so I grabbed my dowsing rods and I marked it out and I said, dig right here. And they dig down and hit the lid, you know. So I thought that was, you know, and then that got around the neighborhood. So next thing you know, everybody was asking me to do dowsing.
That's great.
Yeah, perfect.
But I have no doubts about the authenticity of dowsing. And actually, I found the ranch dowsing.
Wow.
Yeah, I had visions of it. I saw the mountain and the river and the little mountain behind me. And I go, where is this place? And I got a map of the United States and I got a pendulum and went over the whole map. And then my hand got real hot and the pendulum started spinning real fast right over Trout Lake. So I marked it. Mm-hmm. And then what's funny is I threw the map in the closet and forgot about it. And I ended up here anyway.
Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do with this book was to demystify what dowsing is and to kind of bring it into the 21st century. Mm-hmm. And so with our backgrounds, you know, Irina is a PA. She has medical training. My background's in psychology. We understand dowsing in terms of, well, certain physiological functions as well as advanced physics. You know, and one of the ideas, of course, is that on the level of the mind operates beyond Newtonian limitations in what we would call a quantum realm or with quantum functioning. And so the mind is not limited to the body or to any particular time and space. It's a non-local phenomena that can actually create changes simply by where we direct it via the observer effect. So by understanding how these things work in terms of modern science and understanding, we hope to be able to bring this to a much broader audience.
Mm-hmm. Now, it seems like I'm wondering if you ever run into like interference. Let's say you're trying to douse something that you have a real attachment to, or you have a real strong, like a vested interest. What's a way of clearing out that or getting into a real non-attached space? Or even clearing out any unseen negative influences that might be interfering with your work?
Well, first of all, we really get into an alpha brainwave state first. If you get into a relaxed state of mind, it's going to minimize your crazy beta mind interference. Mm-hmm. So that's a good starting place. And then if it seems as though there's any interference going on, very frankly, we just ask, is there interference? Yes, there is. Do I need to know specifically what it is? And if we do, we go down the rabbit hole of questions looking for it, and then we simply clear the interference. That usually works. If we are getting mixed answers or it doesn't feel clear at all, we also check to see if we need to get better clarity in our minds and reframe the question that we're asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that I've had that happen before where I was trying to douse something. I was using the divining rods to do it, actually, and they've been really accurate. But every once in a while, I lose something, and I'm trying to find, okay, where is it? You know, where is it? It's just like, I don't know why, you know, sometimes I can't find it. And I'm walking all around with the divining rods trying to figure out where this thing is, but then all of a sudden an image of it pops in my head. Mm-hmm. And I'll see it. And I go, that's where it is.
Well, clearly you are clairvoyant, and the dowsing for you perhaps isn't the only modality that you operate in. And, of course, it's not the ideal modality for everybody across the board. We are dealing with duality, and, you know, hence mm-hmm. the title of the book, Dowsing Beyond Duality. And in duality, there's always going to be an aspect of opposition. Duality literally means the coexistence of opposites. So mm-hmm. even when we have a pure heart and pure intent, when we set out to do things, there's going to be forces or influences or factors that are out to thwart that or limit our success. And so, you know, we teach our students certain clearing protocols to ensure that this kind of interference is minimized and that they can go ahead with confidence. But every once in a while, I mean, here we are, we're swimming in duality, so we're going to bump up against some debris once in a while. And we just get in the habit of, when our dowsing is a little off or it's not yielding results, we make certain inquiries as to how and what form of interference is involved and if it's something that can be cleared. A lot of the interference that we encounter is actually on the mental plane or the astral or fourth dimension, which from duality's perspective is populated by all kinds of beings. Some of the beings are beings of light and some of the beings are not so light. And it's the lower frequency disincarnate entities or energies that will often play with you and attempt, again, to discourage you from stepping into your power, really. And this is why, you know, amongst certain religious folks, things like dowsing are still considered a tool of the devil, because people who have walked into this type of spiritual work unawares that we are dealing with duality can get themselves in a little bit of trouble just by not being aware that, you know, we're dealing with these things. So we really want people to have a mature and balanced understanding of what really is going on with dowsing and to always be consciously in control of the process. We don't encourage people to, for example, we don't encourage to let just the pendulum move on its own. We encourage people to ask specific questions with certain lines of inquiry and to quantify results, etc., to really assure that the whole mind is involved. This is a practice that involves not only the, you know, the superconscious and the higher aspects of us, our higher selves and all our the beings of light, but it also involves the conscious mind. So we try to work and cooperate with all of the levels as much as possible to avoid confusion or discouragement.
And we also the book being titled Dowsing Beyond Duality, the purpose that we give dowsing in the way we use it is to actually help people break through the illusion of separation and victimization. And so, for instance, the idea of an interfering energy being outside of ourselves on the astral plane, well, yes, we have that game going in this matrix that we have created with varying vibrations and dimensions and all of the experiences of mind playing in all these levels. So what we teach, though, is that nothing of it is really outside of the one mind, which we're all a part of. So for any problem that comes up, the answer is accessible to each and every one of us. We're able to tap into that and shift the energies, because it really is part of our experience as well, and we're not victim to anything.
Mm-hmm. That is important. I know, you know, that's been an ongoing topic. I know so many people that are really facing their victim patterns right now, and it's coming up big time. And you know, and they're not taking responsibility for the realities and what they've allowed to come into their space or the co-creation of the events they're involved in. You know, and because of that, they've allowed some pretty interesting creatures to come in, you might say, or different consciousnesses, you know, to come in. And yeah, and that's an ongoing thing. I know with the counseling I do up here, I keep running into that again and again and again right now, is that you cannot hide anymore from your creations or your wounds or your traumas or any of this stuff, because it's all being, you know, amplified. I think these solar flares are classic amplifiers of that.
Oh, we've really noticed that too,
James.
Especially pushing people's emotional buttons. It's like the light is so intense, it's pushing these issues that have been kept safely below the surface, just, you know, raging to the surface with no, you can't deny it. And we hear from so many of our friends and clients and contacts the same thing. So we really are in the great purification, and we actually feel privileged to have a tool like this that can help folks, you know, consciously navigate and become aware of what's going on and then clear those energies. You know, rationally, all we can do here in this realm is to shorten the time to the inevitable outcome, which is our full awakening, I believe, we believe, mm-hmm. and to reduce the suffering in the meantime. And yeah. there's really no need for suffering, as suffering is caused or created on the level of the mind. So if we can go to that deepest level of cause on the mind as to what's causing these discomforts or illnesses or emotional upsets, if we can access that information and observe it, then we can also shift it. And that's the power of this kind of dowsing. We use certain lines of inquiry to discover what at the deepest level, what level of healing that the mind will allow at the deepest level. And, you know, I'd be happy to do an example for you if you have a situation or an issue or even a pain or something yourself, that we could give you an example of how this line of inquiry works.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I have a low back pain that has been nagging me for about 30 years.
Perfect.
Wonderful.
And I think I know what the issue
is,
but I wouldn't mind having somebody else take a crack at it.
Well, the first question we ask about that is, first of all, for permission. We ask, can we, may we, should we douse for the back pain in your back, and getting a yes on that. The next line of inquiry, and I'm using my pendulum to give me yes and no responses to these questions. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask if that low back pain is at root physical, I'm getting a no. Is it mental, and I'm getting a no. Is it emotional, and I'm getting a yes. And the next question is typically, is this an emotion from this life, and I'm getting a no. So there's no point spending a lifetime in psychoanalysis. You won't find the cause of that backache in this time frame. However, there is an emotion in a parallel life that's bleeding over, you might say, and trying to get your attention in this present time. And this is, and I'm using a chart of 10 now to determine the time frame of this original emotion. And interestingly, it's a year with three digits. And those three digits are 911 AD, 9/11 AD. And that's really interesting, James, because that's a date that's actually come up for others. I recognize it as a common experience for many of us in that particular time frame. The degree of that emotional trauma from that time frame for you is a 10. So that's pretty extreme and probably the reason why you brought it with you into subsequent lifetimes. So what we're going to do now with your agreement is simply imagine that we could actually go back to 9/11 AD. And I'm doing this with a left spin of the pendulum, by the way, which is a reversal or an unwinding. And we're going to go back to 9/11 AD, time travel there, and with our intention and our focus, reduce the intensity of that emotion that is now manifesting in the form of this backache from 10 to 0. And as we allow that energy to be released in the time frame of 9/11 AD, we request of our guides and the beings of light that work with us to transmute that emotional energy back to the original and singular emotion of joy, of bliss, of freedom, of happiness, and allow that healed emotion to come forward now into present time and to bring relief to the symptoms in your back. So we're going to hold that intent now. So I started the spin with my conscious mind, clearly, because, you know, that's where the information pointed. But the spin is kind of going on its own now. The conscious mind has stepped aside, and what we refer to as the superconscious is taken over. And the superconscious, again, is that level of mind where we are all truly connected and are all truly one, which is why when we cooperate with the conscious mind with these possibilities, the doors are flung wide open for change. So as we're doing this, I invite you, James, to put your attention on your back and just to visualize that beautiful, cooling, green energy coming in as that old emotion is released once and for all, not only from present time, but from all lifetimes where you perhaps have carried that same energy in the hopes that one day it would get recognized and healed.
And including on that a reversal of all ill effects and a healing of all relationships implied, expanding this healing out to all those that were involved in 9/11 with you. And in all lifetimes that have been affected by this same energetic entanglement.
So it's still unwinding as we speak. And again, the longer it takes to unwind, typically the deeper, you know, and the broader that issue is. But this is the deepest level of healing for that issue that our minds together could agree on and could allow access to.
And it's likely releasing it when we see where the mind wants to go in a given moment. It takes us to a core point, and it's very likely that it clears on all levels.
So the spin has stopped now, James. We didn't ask you to quantify on a scale of 10, you know, the pain that you have been experiencing, but how does it feel now?
I think before it was about a 12.
Wow.
No, it wasn't that bad, but it just keeps locking up, you know, and it's hard to sit, you know. It's better for me to stand, you know, but you know, I think it's probably on a 1 to 10 scale. It's probably a 6, you know, somewhere around there. It was always nagging me, and sometimes it would go up to where when it went out a few times, it was totally debilitating. I lost all I lost everything in my right leg. Had no feeling to cut the nerves off and everything. But
it's
been healing little at a time. But it's just had this last glitch that wouldn't. I've been trying to track it, and I haven't been able to find out where that resides. But I know you definitely need sometimes to get an outside influence or somebody with no attachment to the issue. You know, to clear those things out.
We're co-facilitators with each other, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, you know, I'm standing up right now, so I actually I stood up to kind of, like, feel the process. But it is feeling better, actually. We'll see how that works out. I'll let you know after a hot bath and a good night's sleep.
You betcha.
That's right. And if it's not completely resolved, you could always email us, and we could see if there's any other inquiries around it.
Okay, yeah, that would be great. I'm trying to figure out what I was doing around 9/11 AD. That one's escaping me.
It may come to you in your dreams tonight.
Yeah, I'm probably out there pissing everybody off, all the powers that be, just like I am in this lifetime. So
identifying those UFOs in those ancient photos.
Right.
Yeah.
We're actually flying in on one of those UFOs at the time.
Yeah, maybe I crashed or something. Maybe I didn't see the reptilian base that flew over or something. Who knows? But, yeah, pretty crazy out there. You know, I have a lot of access to most of my past lives, and I know I've done everything imaginable.
Yeah.
You know, from being a Viking warrior to hacking off heads to having some very high lives, you know, up in Tibet and things like that in monasteries. So,
yeah.
So and then, you know, I was actually in England. I was a cripple. England, I had a serious injury there, and I was a total cripple in England. And a lot of people want me to go to England to do lectures and things, and I just say forget it, you know.
God, yeah.
You know, that's funny you should say that, because we've traveled to different places, and Europe being one of them, where we have noticed, and it's happened a few times, we'll be walking across an airport or in a bus station, and all of a sudden we've had incredible pains in one part of the body or another, and we have to stop everything and release the patterns. You know, when we travel to these different places, we latch on to the resonance from these past lives sometimes, I think.
Mm-hmm. I know one of my past lives I was wounded. I had took an arrow in the knee, in the left knee, and I was having all these serious knee problems. And when I got to that past life and cleared it out, the knee problems went away.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing. But every once in a while, now it's a signal. If I get a little pain in my knee, I know I need to do past life clearing. So it actually became a signal now to let me know what needs to be cleared.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Well, symptoms are really all healing responses on some level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. The Yeah, it's funny because I don't know if you've noticed it, but I know when I go into a place, you know, a lot of times you'll get hit in the solar plexus. And, and you know, a lot of times to me, that's like some unseen negative influences playing around. If I get a real sharp heart pain, you know, it's like possessing type and real strong ones hanging around. And so my body's like a little Geiger counter. You know, I can tell, you know, what is going on, what needs to be healed just by how it's affecting my body.
Wonderful. Yeah.
The body's a great communication device. And, you know, it really is. I think it really that's the purpose of the body in some ways. It is a communication device. How do we want to use it? And it's like a map. It tells us where the mind needs to go to heal things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've that's what I found out after being in the field for what over 30 years or so. It's you become more and more sensitive, and you pay more attention, you know, to your surroundings and your body and how your body's reacting to the surroundings. And I always tell people, if you don't like what you're feeling, do a healing.
That's great.
Yeah.
But, new bumper sticker.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like there's a lot of times I've noticed with people that have not been trained in this or do not know what's going on. They'll get these aches and pains or feelings or get nauseated or start having all these accidents and things like that. And they'll just keep drudging through it and not paying attention to what's happening. And then wait too long. And then pretty soon it just overtakes them and ends up as a serious illness or a serious accident or something of that nature.
Yeah. Just for the want of a little information, a little understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But we really are, you know, so, how can I say, limited and blind compared to our full potential here. And I'm sure many, many of us have spent lifetimes of really needless suffering because of just lack of access to this information and these tools. But I really see that changing and changing in the short term. Even when a few folks begin to awaken and create that resonant pattern, that morphic field of understanding, it makes it more and more available to everybody. I don't expect that there'll be, you know, masses of folks necessarily awakening through the rest of this year, although the pressure certainly is on and many of our values in this world are being pulled out from under us. Mm-hmm. But when we actually hit that threshold, that zero point, when things will spontaneously click on the level of the mind, and we will all, my sense is that we'll all recognize that we are the cause and the source of our own experiences, that our thoughts instantly manifest into what it is that we desire, that there will be a huge wave of need for education and understanding, you know, these kind of spiritual healing principles. You know, it's a fascinating time to be here, to be on the threshold of a change of that scope.
Yes, to say the least, and we really are already seeing this change so blatantly in so many ways right now, and actually even seeing how many more people that in our traveling and working in classes, how many more people are popping up out of mainstream and opening up to the idea of alternative healing and energy and the fact that our mind is so powerful. It really is a beautiful thing to witness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that it is, you know, I'm being shocked at how fast people are awakening right now because, you know, up here, I was talking about it earlier, you know, we live in a very kind of a redneck town, you know, I'd say it, but, you know, a lot of loggers, a lot of Baptists and ranchers and things like that. You know, but you know what's funny? I've been watching all of them just expand and starting to embrace other ideas and a bigger universe. And maybe God might be a little bit bigger than between those pages, you know, in the book they're reading. And, you know, it's amazing watching this unfold. And, you know, I'm having people show up here at the ranch that I never thought would show up and, you know, talking about, you know, the UFOs they've seen. And, you know, now they're saying, I don't care who knows, you know, I don't care, you know, I saw what I saw and nobody's going to take that from me. And it's amazing how, you know, they've held all this, these experiences they've had within for so long, and now it's just all coming out. They're starting to embrace these new ideas.
How wonderful that must be for you, James, because you've been such a pioneer in this area, and I know you've endured a lot of, you know, flack and resistance from the locals in the past, but how wonderful this must feel for you to finally be vindicated and to be there for them now that they're ready to open up.
Yeah, I think three massive UFOs hovering over the Baptist Church and the Jonah Ministries might have helped, you know, last July.
good. That is definitely helpful.
The team is on task.
It seems as though, and I'm sure you have an inside story on this, it seems to us as though there's more and more sightings all over the place because our ET friends are warming us up so that we don't have masses of people just crazed with fear. But disclosure feels like it's going to happen in a very big way by the end of this year. How do you feel on that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's happening now, and I'm getting footage all over the world of fleets of ships, especially in South American countries where they don't shoot at them. But you know,
we have actually a mothership. We're in Boulder, Colorado, and we have a mothership all the time right here over the foothills. It's just so obvious. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard about that. I haven't seen it yet. I know it was on YouTube that somebody told me that. Have you seen the mothership over Boulder, Colorado? And just some people were here from Colorado, and they've seen it, and they were telling me about it. I haven't had a chance to do the research on it, but I probably will. I'll probably pop it up and see what it looks like. But I mean, there are massive ships hovering over cities, you know, major cities. And I know the Guadalajara ships, where there's just, it seems like, thousands of them in the sky. And I showed that in my presentation here at the last conference. I showed ships coming out of ships, and one ship berthing about, you know, 50 ships coming out of it. Just crazy footage, you know, all over the world right now. And here at SETI, it's just gone off the scale. We had about 7 or 8 huge power-ups fly right over the ranch and light up the land here and pulse everybody on the ground. I was funny. William Henry is here, and I go, "Did you see that?" And he goes, "Saw it." He goes, "I felt it," you know.
Wow.
You know, which was interesting, but because you really feel their energy when they come over.
Yeah.
But it's really it's escalating here. We're just getting phenomenal footage right now, and it's, you know, if anybody has any kind of an open mind whatsoever and goes to SETI Stargate and looks at some of the footage that we're loading it up right now as we speak, I don't see how any reasonable mind could not accept the fact that, you know, you've got 30 witnesses in the field, you've got 4 cameras, and these massive ships are flying over, and I mean, the evidence is overwhelming.
Yeah.
Is that esetistargate.org?
No, on YouTube, if you just go to SETI Stargate on YouTube, there's a lot of new stuff being filed up. And just the past week, we have some amazing footage we've taken. And you know, this is like 3 ships in one frame and 4 ships in another frame, and they're interacting and turning and speeding up and doing all kinds of crazy stuff up there. And then coming right over the group and powering up, you know, once or twice.
Right.
And, you know, pulsing the group. So,
feel anything.
You know, I've got some flying right over it, right treetop level. Actually, some below the treetops, you know. I think the satellite program is over, where they keep trying to say, well, those are satellites, or those are, it doesn't add up. Any of the naysayers' programs make no sense whatsoever now.
No. Well, we really had a great experience when we visited you last summer, and we're out in the field, and ever since then, we've been seeing more ships when we get outside with friends at nighttime, and also just knowing how many of the overhead sightings that we have are not satellites, because prior to our time with you, I did assume a lot of them were satellites. That's really fascinating to recognize that.
Yeah, I know most people don't understand the dynamics of it, and they will automatically dismiss something flying overhead as a satellite. But if it's late at night, the sun is behind the Earth, and whatever's flying over is self-illuminated, and satellites can only reflect light. They're not self-illuminated.
That
so,
makes perfect
and
sense.
In the east, you know, right after the sun sets and you see the things in the east, you know, far to the east lighting up, the same thing. They're not reflecting light, you know, they're in the Earth's shadow. And, right. You know, I always tell people to go to Heavens Above or get the J-Tracker site up and do the research and look what's flying. Type in your zip code and it'll tell you exactly what's overhead.
Now, we had a fellow come through town here, a retired naval major, I believe he was, and he was in charge of a missile silo a couple of years ago somewhere in the Midwest, and they had a sighting that showed up, a group sighting that showed up on their radar that actually shut down their nuclear arms just temporarily, but clearly in a display of the ability to do that and the ability to prevent us from using these weapons anymore on this planet. Do you have corroborating stories around that?
Oh, actually, Robert Salas is probably the person you're talking about.
I think so.
Yeah,
and he was here not too long ago. He was here at the ranch hanging out, and he came here with his wife. And while he was here, he saw some amazing things on the mountain. He saw a huge green light, you know, moving all over the mountain and going over terrain that's impossible to traverse with any kind of vehicle. And this is all wilderness area. You can't have a vehicle up there anyway.
Yeah.
But he saw a lot of things overhead, you know, all kinds of things. But he, you know, he said, made it very clear, you know, he said that, hey, I'll testify, you know, if you want somebody to come forward and talk about what's going on here. But we've had, you know, all the exopolitics. It's funny, I'm looking at the mountain as we speak, and I'm talking, as I was talking about that, a big light appeared on the mountain. You know, so
how perfect.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Everybody's out there hooting and hollering, and I just happen to look over at the mountain. Wow, there's two. two. Whoa. Yeah. I wish I had a webcam right now. You know, there is just these huge lights coming off the mountain right now. And it's at the very top of the mountain. It's where there's actually two caves up there, huge caves on the top right of the mountain. Uh-huh. And you can't get to them because it's just treacherous. It's a glacier, and then the area there is just treacherous to get to these caves. But they're only open just a certain time of the year. And that's where these massive lights are coming from right now, and we flew around there with a light plane and took pictures of it. And at the entrance of this cave is this huge, like a Buddha head carved out of basalt.
Wow, beautiful.
You know?
Very
so
interesting.
yeah and so that is quite interesting. But you know, I'm sitting here looking right at it right now, and it's that area is lighting up as we speak.
Well, I think they're getting ready for a pretty big party.
Yeah. It's, you know, I've told people, I said, you know, if you don't believe in this stuff, do the research. You know, go check out all the Native American prophecies. Right. You know, they all talk about a huge reunion, the Mayans, everybody. You know, this big reunion coming up. And I think it's already happening, but it's exponential. It's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yes.
And the veils will come down, and then pretty soon we're going to see just fleets of ships everywhere.
Yes. And I'm sure you're familiar with the movie Thrive that came out a little while ago.
Yeah, I had a little cameo appearance in there.
That's right. And the technology that they're talking about there, the you know, the free energy devices and all that, are probably going to be part and parcel of this planetary liberation with a lot of this technology that is ET technology. And, you know, so much of the world's limitations are based on the economic constraints of the geopolitical powers that be, or the powers that were, as David Wilcock refers to them, around, you know, the control of energy. So we really are looking forward to some pretty interesting balances in the world as these as these free energies become available and people get off the, you know, the grid, so to speak, the pharmaceutical, petrochemical
control
grid, which is it's so fascinating now to see that also coming down in the form of these banking closures and arrests, which to me are also reasons for celebration.
And from what we understand, there's already foundation laid for a new global economy that is going to be sustaining for everyone. In the same thing about, as David's mentioning, the free energy, everybody we talk to, I shouldn't say everybody, but frequently now we end up in conversations with people that are involved in projects creating free energy devices. So it seems as though there's a real Kali energy that we are experiencing now, the destruction of old ways simultaneously as the new is emerging. Not just a destruction and left everything left asunder, but really a building is already happening. It's not nothing we have to wait for.
Oh, definitely. You know, the free energy devices in the movie Thrive, I actually gave Foster the video for those. So I know the people that created those and built those, but they're kind of sitting on hold right now. But they're very close to getting these things out. And the energy output on these are total fuelless energy technologies, is just phenomenal. And, you know, they have technology now where they can shut down all the nukes and hook these devices in to run their turbines and no fuel, you know, nothing. It's like no pollution, nothing. It's there now. People just need to know that it, you know it's there and know it's available and start putting pressure, you know, on this system we now have to start backing this and getting this going.
Yeah.
Well, an interesting, I saw on Democracy Now! The other night how in Spain the Occupy movement there actually got together enough funds to bring a lawsuit against the former head of the International Monetary Fund for Spain, and the courts are going after this guy.
Great.
And
that's
one of
awesome.
The spokesmen said, this is how the Occupy movement was intended to work, not just get out and make a lot of noise, but then cooperate on the rational means for bringing around a change on that level.
Yeah, you know, what I've noticed here, I know we're having our go at it with the court system here, and, you know, it is so corrupt. It's unbelievable what a good old boys club is, and you know, they're all in it together, and they all benefit from it. You know, there's actually a conflict of interest from the very beginning, before you even walk through the door. But you know, we've been dealing with it, and we've had, you know, it's crazy. Three judges have recused themselves, and a prosecuting attorney has quit. You know, we've been really hammering down some paperwork, and I'm getting some great help from some wonderful friends of ESETI in this, and. You know, it's been doing really well, but we're at a point now where after your sixth appearance, you know, coming up, I'm just saying, you know, when is this going to end?
Yeah.
You know, how long are you going to keep pushing this? And when are you going to find some kind of integrity and honesty and start following the law versus twisting and bending it to make a buck, you know, to keep your institution going? But I know that we're the microcosm of the macrocosm, and I think people are just fed up. You know, they're just done with this system and the corruption within the system and the lack of integrity and honesty, and they become extreme disservice.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the
macro scale, what it appears to us is that what we're really seeing is the demise of the ego, the individual ego. It no longer, if it ever, serves us. If it ever served us, it was as a biological reflex for survival, but we went and identified with it and have been using it against each other to keep us in separation. And as we move into this next level of maturity as a species, like Ken Carey said, we're leaving the age of individual awakening and entering the age of planetary awakening. So I think what we're seeing is that these institutions, which really symbolize the ego in its defensiveness and its in its fear-based thought belief system, we're really seeing the end of that, and the demise of anything that's based on that foundation. As we unify and really recognize that our oneness, not just as a nice theory or creed, but actually as an organic experience.
Yeah, in a practical, in all practical ways. And it's really obvious that we've already crossed a threshold. There's no going back. It's inevitable that we're having a global awakening. And so anybody, any system, any company, any group, any individual that is not maintaining integrity now, the gig is soon up, let's put it that way, because the energy, as we're noticing all this high vibrational energy, and we're being helped along the way. You mentioned it earlier. We're being helped with all of these solar flares and coronal mass ejections from the sun. It's really tweaking our field, and it's like shaking the roots of our trees and shaking all that dirt and debris off. And we're getting ready to plant ourselves in fertile soil for creating a new earth together.
Yeah, I agree. I've just seen over and over again, you know, they've shown me the big picture and the process on the interplanes. And, you know, this process, no man can stop. It is so huge. And, you know, no matter how many toys you got and no matter how much technology you have and how much money you have, and it doesn't matter. You know, it's if we don't rise to the occasion and match the frequencies of the earth and her process, we just aren't going to be here. And that's the information I get over and over again. I just see this shift that we're moving into and the energies that are coming in, you know, and you know, like the old Borg used to say, resistance is futile. You know, it's
I do love that word, inevitable.
And go with the flow.
Yeah. Well, for us, you know, the dowsing is one practical way that people can prepare and be proactive. You know, in that most of the work with dowsing, as with many other healing modalities, is in clearing old patterns and memories and residuals from former traumas. And as we do that, our frequency actually just naturally rises. You know, we don't have to work at that part of it. But we do need to be responsible for what is causing us discomfort and go into it and create a new space within ourselves for something new to emerge. And that happens spontaneously as we release.
Yes, we're finding that during all of this tweaking, all these waves that we're riding together with these, you know, solar flares, et cetera, we are really seeing how handy it is to be using this the pendulum to clear the body, clear the nervous system, releasing all the stress and actually bringing the nervous system up into and the body into a greater state of adaptation to the solar flares.
It seems
I noticed that on the downside, you know, the people that are not going with the flow and are not changing, you know, in consciousness and awareness and action are really struggling hard with these energies when they're coming in, and they're doing all they can to maintain the status quo. But it's just futile. We're going to have to start letting go and releasing the past, you know, and start and move forward and be open to new ideas and new ways of doing things.
Right.
It is really the end of history as we've known it. And you're right, there are folks who are being taken out simply because they're not willing to look beyond their conditioning and assumptions. My sense of that is that they're actually going into higher planes where they can observe and appreciate the shift that's going on with less resistance, particularly around the physical body. But that everybody will actually, whether you're in the body or off planet, will have some sort of opportunity to ascend and perhaps come back, reincarnate into the human realm, or give it a shot on another third dimensional planet and, you know, go through the whole learning process again.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about
I know. I think some people should be sent back to a very primitive planet full of predators and parasites and
a package of matches
that match their consciousness or their actions, you know, and start the learning process over.
Well, it could be. You know, we're real proponents of forgiveness and the healing power of that. And I do think that on this planet, there's going to have to be some kind of universal amnesty for folks who have, you know, kind of dug in their heels and are resisting this. Because if we go into, you know, punishing or, you know, making others pay, we're going to really be continuing or perpetuating that separation model.
Right, what we've been going
through. That was just my spiritually inappropriate.
So I think we will see some form of perhaps re-education and opportunities for folks to be removed perhaps from their positions and from their privileges, but that the purpose of that will be to educate and to forgive, to really heal that schism. Because the folks that have taken on that mantle of what we call evil in this world are really volunteers to manifest for the rest of us that aspect of the one consciousness that needs to be healed and that really does go back to our belief in separation.
And what we've been noticing with even the negative, what appears to be negative acts, you know, by individuals and groups and the government and so forth, that's energy, right? That's all usable energy. And, you know, we're in this seeming period of chaos now, and we know we are shifting to a higher state. And the laws of energy, you know, actually state that during a time of a shift from a lower state to a higher, more stable state of anything, whether it's, you know, us evolving to a higher state, physically or conscious-wise, energy shifts to a higher state with a great deal. It needs a lot of energy to be able to make that shift. So all of the negativity is actually adding to the momentum, adding to the energy that's needed to help us make the shift.
It does. Yeah, it does seem that way. You know, I always say if somebody rolls you boulders, make stairs, you know, it's like,
I like that.
It is pretty interesting going on the differences of energy. And I've seen too, we had at the conference here, we had an amazing panel. We had all this a speakers panel and, you know, we had, you know, Brooks Agnew, we had Neil Kramer on it. Anilia Benz was on it. Tian Jia, she's a Tiangong, you know, master teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Emil Fabregas was on there. Jason Verbelli, who's the free energy. I know I'm missing a couple, but off the top of my head. But it was just an amazing panel. And I thought about that. You know, people were firing questions from the audience, and Mel was asking questions. And it was just amazing, the responses and the energy. Neil Kramer was great. He goes, well, how can we awaken and heal and fix these people, you know? He goes, do you have any advice on that? And he said, no. That was all he said was no. And he goes, they got to fix themselves, you know? I'm not here to fix people, you know? They need to take responsibility and fix. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But it was such a powerful panel, though, and the information that was given in this panel. And I thought about it. I go, this is the kind of government we need. You know, we need a truth and reconciliation panel that, you know, people can come before and to shift the energies here, because the system we have now is so archaic. It's back in the dinosaur ages it would work, but nowadays they just don't work.
Yeah.
And it just seems we need to get some kind of a different governing body, get out of this Republicrat program we have right now with two puppets, with one puppet master,
mm-hmm.
and get a truth and reconciliation panel together and and start cleaning up the mess and hold people accountable and give them a chance to make reconciliation.
Yeah.
No doubt that will come.
That's almost more of a Native American approach to justice, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, they pretty much gave us our government, but they knew how to work it,
right?
In the past. But it was much different. It started out as a great idea. I think the Republic is just an awesome idea. The problem is we lost it.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it's coming back.
It is coming back, yes.
Yeah, it's an amazing time to be here.
Yeah. Well, those tools sound amazing. The book sounds amazing. I know that is what people need more than anything right now is tools to help them in this process. Mm-hmm. And what's the best way for people to get a hold of that book?
Well, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. That's probably the most direct way for most people to get it, but it's also in most major bookstores as well. People can also visit our website, which is bluesunenergetics.net, and learn more about our work, not only with the dowsing, but we also teach communication courses for people in relationship, basically, which is all of us. And we have a licensing program for spiritual healers. So people who are out there practicing in the so-called alternative healing world can actually get the protection of a legal license to do the work that they're here to do. And we teach that course as well. Arena and I also, we love to do dowsing sessions for individuals. So we have a number of different options if people want a personal dowsing session that goes into all kinds of interesting areas, including past lives, including spiritual influences, clearing old emotions. Actually, on our articles page, there's a couple of examples of the kinds of results that people could expect from a personal session. So, but the book is available pretty well those places. And, of course, we're always happy to hear from folks, too, if they have any specific questions. They can email us at info@bluesunenergetics.net.
And in summary to cap, I guess, what we're doing or the central focus of it is we're really using these various tools and classes and sessions to help people let go of their limitations and let go of really the ego nature and step into empowerment, step into, self-realization and in practical ways, in ways that they can really apply in their daily lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, I know some people, say, oh, this is totally impractical, or I need to make money, or I need a new job, or I need new, this or whatever. But, it's so important to realize that consciousness creates reality, and within our consciousness, we're holding all these inhibitors and blocks and patterns and things like that. Until we deal with that and clear that up, we're probably going to, be ending up in the same old drudgery, that we've been creating all along.
It's a world of mirrors, and a mirror is always a reflection of the inner. But the trouble with a mirror image is it looks real, but it's totally backwards.
Totally backwards. And it's interesting to see that what we used to be able to get away with negative habits or, being mindless in our thinking, you just can't get away with it anymore. The consequences are pretty immediate.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I found an interesting way of finding my car keys. Is when I couldn't find them, I wouldn't use the dowsing rods. I'd just blame somebody. And I get instant karma, So you can use the reverse karma approach.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny because when you get to resonate at a certain level, you get instant karma whenever you pull something.
Yes.
But I don't know if the universe likes being tricked like that, so I'll probably have some other karmic backlash.
Right. We're here to try it all and decide what works best.
Right.
Yeah. It's a big joke here. It's a joke. When I can't find my car keys, everybody knows I laugh. I go around and blame a couple people, and they show up right away.
We're waiting for those cars that have no keys, right?
Yeah. I want a car with no tires.
Hey,
yes.
There's a YouTube out there, a guy, he calls himself the Hue Man. You might have heard this. He's a retired university professor. His name is Hugh, hence Hugh Mann. But he is a longtime Pleiadian contactee who's finally been given permission to discuss a few things. And he actually said that, James, that there will be, when the Pleiadians go public, which they're going to do through a series of kind of like Disneyland venues, and they're going to open up these fairs and show us everything that we're entitled to. But one of the things they're going to do is having these shops where you take your gas-guzzling automobile in, and they will actually, in about an hour and a half, convert it over to a gravity-free, fuel-free vehicle.
Mm-hmm. That works for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sign me up.
I want a little scooter here, a little anti-gravity scooter I can hop on and just take up to the top of the mountain whenever I want. That's my dream.
That's nice. It's kind of, we saw all this back in the day when the Jetsons were on.
Right.
Yeah.
Something told us there's something about this.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to sit in the field and film UFOs. I want to have my own. That's my,
yeah.
I would say maybe you can douse out and tell me where I left my UFO so I can go home.
I think it's all around you. It's just in another dimension.
Exactly. Yeah. I know the greatest UFO ever is our own consciousness and our body. We can raise the body and turn it into a light body and go anywhere, or just go out of body in a Merkaba and transcend dimensions.
I think that's it. Yes.
That's more important. Hey, well, we're coming up to the end of the hour, so I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And maybe you can give out your website one more time so people can connect with that and get in contact.
Sure.
It's bluesunenergetics.net.
And thank you, James. It's always a delight to hang out with you. We love your work and respect so much what you represent to so many people on the planet. So
yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for you're doing. And we really look forward to coming up and visiting you there again sometime.
Great. You're more than welcome. All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show. We're hit the end of the hour here. It's time to sign off. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great day.